what his mercy did for me. What about you? You turn your life over to Jesus. Do you know who he is this morning? And is he the God of your life? Is he your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer? Praise God. Let's all just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I know who I am because of Jesus Christ, and I know where I came from. But thank goodness for his forgiveness and his love for me and that precious blood that he shed for each and every one of us. Praise God. Let's all stand if you can. Just want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up our service. So good to see each and y'all. I don't know about y'all, but God is great. He is always an on-time God, and no matter what we're going through, what situations, seeing all the prayer requests going forward, seeing all the needs, those that have lost loved ones, as those that need strengthening or protection or provisions by the Lord, let's just keep them, just let the Lord just minister to each and every one of us this morning. Yes, sir.
I have a praise report. Yes. I thank God for it. I've been sending out a text blast about my coworker, Todd.
Yes.
They'd almost all but given up hope on him. They'd put him on the last experimental thing. Well, Friday, we got text that he had woke up out of his coma state. He was responding to people, talking to them. His oxygen level has climbed again. God is great.
Amen. 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 He sure is. God is so great. I know his brother Thomas is saying that. It's powerful. You know, God, that's what his mercy does for me. And I know, as Brother Thomas was actually asking for prayer, even mentioning it Wednesday night and then on his text, and then as we talked Friday night, as the time drew close, that it wasn't looking good at all is what they were saying. It wasn't looking good at all. But we know what looks good, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Well, while you're standing, we're going to go to prayer now. And I know there are other situations. Those watching online, those that are possibly in our congregation this morning, let's remember those in the children's church. Just want to thank the Lord for all the ministries he's given us. But there's so many needs right now. There's so much coming on. And I know y'all are such a wonderful church body, and I know you believe in the Lord, a praying church. And let's don't forget those prayer requests in the prayer box and, like I said, those blasts. But if you have a need this morning, just show by the raising of your hand or situation. Because I know God's healing. He's preparing us, those that are facing surgery, those that are facing needs, those that have lost a loved one. Precious and Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you this morning. Lord, we just want to lift you up, honor you, dear Lord, with everything that we have and everything that we are. Dear Lord, we're nothing without you, but dear Lord, you are everything. Our God, we just praise you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. The Lord, as the words fail me as we come out just to worship you enough, Lord, you're wonderful. The Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're everlasting. And the Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. The Lord, we thank you for this congregation, those that are joining us live, those that are watching on the feed. Lord, we ask now that you'll touch each and every one. You see those needs. You've seen the hands were raised. The Lord, you hear you know what's in the depths of our hearts, dear Lord, and you see those tears that fall. Lord, we're calling on you now. Dear Lord, we're worshiping you. We're thanking you for these praise reports. But, dear Lord, now we're placing every situation into your mighty hands, Lord, because we know that you're healing now. Lord, we know that you're providing now. Lord, we know that you're comforting now. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family. Lord, strengthen us as a church. Dear Lord, every ministry that goes forth from here, we thank you for blessing. We thank you for your love. And the Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Page 177. I haven't had a chance to tell anybody. Excuse me. We had a great Sunday school class. Had some folks in there that don't get to sit with us that often. So really excited. Good to see y'all this morning. Page 177. Are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
can, turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them this morning.
Jesus loves you.
Amen. 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 It's good to see y'all's beautiful smiles this morning. So much going on. So many activities going forth. We're going to have a few announcements before the guys that are coming up, the men that come up and take up the offering. And I'm going to ask Miss Penny if she can tell us about Wednesday night, please. Y'all hear these announcements. They're really powerful.
We will be having our annual Thanksgiving dinner this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So there will actually be no church service. We'll just fellowship over in the Curtis Center. Everybody needs to bring food except for we have someone cooking the turkeys for us. So everything else we need.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful time of year. Can y'all believe it's already this far towards Thanksgiving and this season is so much going on. I know the different ministries going forth, and also have a couple of special announcements that we had talked about before. Don't forget about the paint party coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. I thought I saw a hand go up. Y'all excuse me. But it's November 20th at 4 p.m. Be over, is it in the Curtis Center? Yes. Okay. Make sure I'm saying it right. Over in the Curtis Center. And it's going to be a wonderful time. All the things that you'll need to do the painting and being directed how to do it is in place. Miss Tabitha has more information than I can even give it. But it's a wonderful ministry. And go ahead and stand up and just tell us real quick the rest of it, Miss Tabitha.
Wendy.
Miss Tabitha, excuse me. I'm sorry. You're back here, aren't you? Miss Wendy, I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Y'all, I'm not completely crazy this morning. I'm just giddy for the Lord. I just love the Lord. Amen. I know those on you online didn't have a chance to hear everything. I think they're posting the details, or they will, or through our announcements as they post them. Any other announcements need to be brought forth? Praise God. We'll go ahead and take up our morning offering then. Please. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord? Bless our morning offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I guess I'll be the one to testify. I had asked for prayer for Christopher a couple weeks ago because it was an uncertainty of what was going on with him. But I have to say, he had prayers covering him from North Carolina to Georgia and everywhere around. And he went last Wednesday, and everything is wonderful, fine. We were looking at possibility of surgery, but nothing. God stepped in and took care of it all. So thank y'all for your prayers.
You know, it's funny you asked me that. Well, not funny. No coincidence with the Lord. But my testimony is not so much about me, but about Sister Linda. You know, I really felt the Lord press upon my heart to pray for her here a few weeks ago. She's going through a pretty deep valley, you know, and I felt the strength of that, you know. And it ain't about repaying just because everyone prayed for me. It's the heart we should have, the heart that God has toward us, amen. The unjudgmental, the unconditional love, the ferventness of the prayer. When you really start thinking about your brothers and sisters, you know, the biggest blessing to me to life now is to be able to have the opportunity to be able to pray for my brothers and sisters and for people that are lost. Amen. And I thank God for this church. I thank God for the stewardship, for the dedication, for everyone that comes, whatever part you do, whether you just come and be faithful, and for the love we feel here. But I thank God for Sister Linda because she is a miracle sitting up there. You see what she did this morning, that's nothing but God. And God deserves the glory for that. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe some people came to have church this morning. Again. If you're dissatisfied with the mundane, if you're not comfortable with the day-to-day situations that are happening in the world today, somebody needs to testify.
Yes.
Amen. If the world ever needed a testimony, it's today. It's the hour that you and I are living in. Amen. It's one thing to testify in church, but when we testify in the world and the world sees that there is something within us, amen, that's able to withstand anything that we face in this. Do I have any believers in the house this morning that can believe that God is able, amen, to sustain us regardless of what we face in this world? My, my, my. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. Man, I'm dependent upon it. Can't do anything without the power of God this morning. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to stand today and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Amen. Are you thankful for that? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let us go to the Old Testament book of Daniel in the 3rd chapter. And as you're turning, let all of our friends and visitors know this morning how much we love them and how thankful we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Let's just pull right up to the table the blessings that God has prepared for us this morning. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Daniel, I want to read verse number 1 this morning, if I may. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up. Pay particular attention. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We adore you. Father, so thankful for another day and opportunity to come into your house to worship. Those who have gathered here today, Father, I pray that you would pour out of your anointing. We've already heard the testimonies of praise and healing. God, you are a God of healing. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would not only heal physically, but heal spiritually in the land today. I ask you very humbly this morning, God, as a servant, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel for your honor and for your glory. God, that we might bring forth what we feel that you've laid upon our heart. We'll be careful to give you praise, to give you honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, impact. Turn to somebody and give them the biggest smile that you possibly can as a born-again Christian. The world needs that. I said the world needs that. Amen. It needs folks that's happy about their salvation. People that know where their destination is. Anybody in the house know where you're going when this life is over? Amen. That ought to make us smile. This morning from this passage of Scripture, I want to bring a message entitled, Refusing to Bow. Refusing to Bow. Did not know what the choir was going to sing this morning, but as they begin to sing about somebody ought to testify, and one of the verses was talking about the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. And certainly every Bible reader knows the outcome of that remarkable story. But I want to back up just a little bit this morning, if I may. I want to talk about this image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar set up himself. Let me just kind of pause and just give a word of warning. Let's be careful what we set up. Let's make sure it is anointed and sanctioned by God. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be a part of anything that is not sanctioned by Almighty God. I have tried that in the past and seen that my decisions did not work out well. Some of the things that I desired were not what God desired for me. But when I got in the right frame of mind and when I let my heart be melted by the Spirit of God, He began to lead me and guide me into His way. Are you thankful for that this morning? He give Him a hand clap of praise if you're still being led by the Spirit of God. This particular image of gold was some 90 feet high and approximately 9 feet wide. Quite a structure. Now, there were some remarkable situations surrounding this erection of this image. First of all, there were some Hebrew children that were taken captive by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. When they went in and they surrounded and besieged Jerusalem, and they brought many of the children of Israel with them. Now, you Bible readers know that certain of these Israelites were very wise, and they were part of princes and kings and a great genealogy of the children of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar noticed that. Can I tell you, if you're living for the Lord, somebody's going to notice that. You know, it's all right to put it on your car. It's all right to wear it on your wristband. But I believe with even out any of those things, somebody's going to realize and recognize that you are a child of God. You're not going to react the same way that the world reacts. Amen? You're not going to be upset when things don't go your way. You're going to know that you have an advocate with a Father, a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for our sins, that has given us an open invitation. How do we know that? He tore the wall down, amen, from the temple. He said, come on in anytime you have to talk, and I will be there for you. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar noticed something about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he gave them authority. First thing he did was he gave Daniel the kingship or the rulership over the province of Babylon. And that's very important as we go on with this message. He gave him rulership over all the governors and the princes of the province of Babylon. And also, he made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego certain governors in that same area. Now, having seen something special in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, he knew that they had a right spirit within them. So he honored that. Let me tell you something. Just noticing a born-again Christian, just having fellowship with a born-again Christian, is not going to make you a born-again Christian. He knows there's only one way. Amen, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an altar of repentance, godly sorrow, not holding anything back. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that I've fallen. I know that I fell short many times, but I come to you and I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would wash that lifestyle away, that you would fill me with your Spirit and make me a brand new person. Has anybody in the house had that experience this morning? Give the Lord praise for that wonderful transformation.
Amen.
But many times, we fail to consult with God. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had a human frailty, something that eventually was his downfall. He may have been wise in certain areas, may have been able to recognize the qualities of other people, but he also surrounded himself with a group of backstabber, tattletale, power-seeking people as well. Now, the one thing that caused the demise of several things for King Nebuchadnezzar was his huge ego. That still happens today, by the way. One thing I have learned, not to think too highly of myself. I am nothing, amen, without Jesus. I am nothing but what was made of this earth. Almighty God took the dust of this earth and he formed and fashioned not only me and you, amen, but all mankind. We were nothing. We could not do anything. We could not think. We could not react until God himself breathed the breath of life into our soul and we became a living, breathing soul. I owe everything I am to God today. I could be nothing without him. Man, and I will assure you, whenever we puff our chest out a little bit, God will quickly remind us who we are. But Nebuchadnezzar was kind of an egotistical character, if you would. It was not enough just to be king. It was not enough just to have the authority. He decided that he wanted to erect a great statue or an idol. And of all places, listen, he chose the plain of Dura. Dura meaning fortified or circle or sphere, which happened to be in the midst of the province of Babylon. Now, who is the governor of the province of Babylon? Daniel, a man of God, one with a special spirit. But Nebuchadnezzar did not see it necessary to consult the man of God because his ego got in the way. So he instructed all of his builders and his stonemasons to erect this gigantic statue, which was pure gold. Now, to me, that doesn't make any sense as a leader, because I believe that the amount of gold that went into that statue could have fed a lot of folks. That's just my way of thinking. But yet he saw it necessary to erect this giant statue in the plain of Dura, which is in a part of the province of Babylon, which Daniel himself was placed in charge. Now, I don't know Daniel personally, but I have read his writings, and I believe enough to know that if Nebuchadnezzar had come to Daniel and said, Daniel, as a man of God, do you think I need to do this? And I would assure you that Daniel said, you better be careful what you do without consulting God. How many knows that sermon will still preach today? So he doesn't consult Daniel. He doesn't go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he instructs his stonemasons and those who erect this statue. Now, he was easily swayed by those inner circle of people around him. So he made a decree that at the sound of the music of these instruments, you stopped, you bowed, and you worshiped. Man, we need that kind of music today, don't we? If you're worshiping the true God, imagine how that would be. In the middle of your day, when you got the most hectic schedule in the world and you hear that music, all of a sudden you forget it, you stop, you bow down and you begin to worship God Almighty. Hallelujah. I believe it changed the world, don't you? I believe it changed the situation in our land today. But this was the decree. So when the music began to play, everybody who heard the music and was in that area would stop what they were doing, their daily routine. They would simply stop. They would bow down to the earth, and they would worship this non-living, non-breathing statue that Nebuchadnezzar had lifted up himself. If they would have just worshiped the true God, if the world today would just worship the true God and forget about the material things and forget about those who may be in charge and know who is the supreme person that is in charge, things would begin to turn around. There was a group of people. God said he'd always have a remnant. Hallelujah. May not be the biggest. May not be the baddest. May not be the most well-equipped, but God's got a small church. I said God's got a group of believers. Let me tell you, this group of believers have been silent too long. It's time for the group of believers to rise up and begin to state that the Lord Jesus Christ is where every person ought to turn their life to. How many believe that Jesus is still the answer? Come on, we're looking for solutions. We're looking for the answer. You don't have to look any further than the Word of God to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. So as all of the sheep, I'm sorry. That was bad. As all of the people heard the music, they immediately, without question, fell down, began to worship, pay homage to this non-breathing, non-heart-pumping statue that was in the midst of the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon, all except a small group of Hebrew boys who knew what it was to serve Jehovah God. They could have been annihilated by Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army, but they were spared. There's not a person sounding under the sound of my voice today that doesn't need to realize every single one of us could be in a cemetery plot today, except for the grace of God. Amen. You're here today because God has spared your life. God has given you that ability to breathe. We hear and see today that is a precious commodity that a lot of people don't have the ability to breathe on their own. But you was able to get up this morning. You was able to get dressed. You was able to come into the house of God. You know what? If God never ever does another thing, we are a blessed people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by the names of these three Hebrew boys. So we just can't do it. Just can't do it. Do you realize the pressure that was on those three individuals? I feel certain, this is just an opinion of mine, and that and 50 cents will get you nothing. Used to get you a cup of coffee. I tell you, this inflation thing, if it gets my coffee, I'm going to go on a fast and pray. Anyway, but imagine the pressure of these three Hebrew boys. And just my opinion, I would think that maybe there were a few in that crowd that bowed and really didn't mean it. But they bowed. Really didn't agree with it, but they bowed. Really thought it was pointless, but they bowed. The reason they bowed, because everybody around them was bowing. Imagine if a survey was taken, many of them say, I don't agree with this, but I don't want to stand out. Besides, the king said that he'd throw us in a fiery furnace. So even though my heart's not in it, even though I don't agree with it, even though I'm steadfastly against it, I still bow. There were probably some that was all for it. Those that maybe put their faith and trust in something other than God. Many today are doing that very same thing. But I found out that those things are short-lived. Here today, gone tomorrow. If you put your faith in anything other than God, don't be surprised when it's snatched away from you. But when you put your faith and trust in God, He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. So some were probably dedicated. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, I don't read in the Bible where they said, you know what? Let's think this over. Brother, I don't find that. I don't find where they said, you know what? Everybody else is doing it. They stood steadfast. We may be small in number. We may not be politically correct. We may be frowned upon. We may be ridiculed. But I believe with all of my heart that it's time for the body of Christ to stand its ground. To stand firm on the principles, the statutes, and the precepts of the Word of God. Regardless if it is offensive to the world, amen, I'd rather please God than man any day. So I don't think they even had a second thought about it. I believe they stood firm. Well, I can almost hear the people, get out, get out, get out. You're going to get in trouble. Just bow. You don't have to really mean it. Just bow. Just go along with the crowd. Mercy. I didn't mean to say all that. But maybe the Lord wanted it said anyway. We need the church to stand up. We need the church to, listen, if you stand on the Word of God, you'll never have to apologize. You'll never have to back up. I want you to understand this morning, it is not what Eddie said. It is not what the pastor said. It is what the Word of God tells us. This is what we must be obedient and submissive to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not doing it. I don't care how many does it. I don't care if the whole world bows down. We're not going to do it because we serve Jehovah God. We serve God Almighty. We will never let anything take the place of our worship. Who are you worshiping today, world? Who are you lifting up today? Who are you praying to? Who gives you breath? Who gives you life? Hallelujah. No, we can't bow. So they stood their ground. Now, the Bible doesn't expressly tell us if those was one occasion or several. But there were times, one, two, three, whatever it was, every time they stood, every time the music played, they stood, they would not bow. And there were eyes in the crowd. These eyes became the king's tattletales, or what I refer to as fake news. We thought that was just a brand new term. No, it was in Nebuchadnezzar's day too. And they couldn't wait to run to the king and said, oh, king, oh, great king, live forever, but we got some good news to tell you, or bad news one. There be some. There's an old song that says, I'm glad I'm one of them. There be some in your kingdom, oh, king, that do not regard that idol. Satan, you old adversary, deceiving imp, there's some today. Hallelujah. We may not be many, but there's some today that do not regard this world or the things in it as our deity. We still serve Almighty God.
We will not bow. We will not come down to the lowliness of serving something in this world. And the king was very mad. His ego was hurt. Why couldn't you just bow down? So he calls for an audience with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We often say, thank God for second chances. I am the recipient of second chances. And that even makes me more thankful and more appreciative that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of my sins. So he calls for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he tells them the seriousness of the matter. Do you not understand the consequences of not bowing? He said, we're not careful to answer you, O king. In other words, we don't have to think about it. You know what else that tells me? No matter what you say, king, it ain't going to change my mind. Woo! Give me a church full of folks like that. It don't matter what you say, devil, it ain't going to change my mind. I'm a child of God. I'm blood bought, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, buried in his name. Glory to God. I know who my Savior is. But he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let me tell you something. In case you don't understand, let me make it very clear to you. When the music sounds, it's almost like, you know, you're not able to comprehend what I'm telling you. But yet we chose you because you're some of the wisest of Israel. Want to make it perfectly plain. It's amazing to me that we as a society think when people are slow to understand, they're also deaf. Because if we've told them and there doesn't seem to be a change of expression, do you know what I just said? Preachers are like that sometimes. You know why we do that? Because you're sitting there with a blank stare on your face. Amen. When I read something out of the Word of God, I expect to see some smiles. I expect to see some hands raised. I expect to see some joy in somebody. Amen. King Nebuchadnezzar, you not understand that when this music is played, then you're supposed to stop what you're doing and you bow down and you worship the idol. What, boys, I'm going to give you a second chance. And this is paraphrasing, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't need second chances. You know why they didn't need second chances? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able, everybody say, is able, say it like you mean it, say it like he's been able to restore you, say it like God has already done something in your life. God is able. Tell your neighbor, God is able, he's still able, amen, to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I love this. This is where we got to get to as a Christian. This is where we got to get to as a body of Christ. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Man, I like that determination. So now we don't need a second chance. Yes, we know the consequences. Yes, we are ready to die for our Lord and Savior. King was very wroth. His ego was bruised. His authority had somewhat diminished. He could not strike fear into three souls out of the whole province. Amen. Now, we as Christians today, see, we'd been just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. would we? Let me ask a different question. Are we? Are we? Situation may have changed. The consequences may be different. But there's things we still don't need to bow to. Amen. We certainly don't need to turn our back on our faith in God to sustain us, to keep us, even if we have to go through a fiery trial. Man, the king's upset. He commands that fiery furnace to be heated up hotter than it normally is. And the soldiers that took them to cast them into the midst of the fiery furnace couldn't stand the heat. They were destroyed. Listen to that. Those who are trying to kill you spiritually, those that are backstabbers and tattletales and trying to put you down for your faith and beliefs, they may be close to the fire, but they can never stand the fire that a true Christian is able to stand because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, who will sustain us. So they were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. And from what I understand, maybe it was close enough for those around there not to be right at the fire, but close enough to hear what was going on. And I would imagine the expectations of King Nebuchadnezzar and his body of tattletales were expecting to hear screams, pain and agony, just as some folks see you going through diversity, problems, hurt, pain, and expecting to see you just lose it. Just go ballistic. Just but that's not the reaction of a born-again Christian. Glory to God. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I praise him and worship him. There's not a battle that God cannot defeat. There is not a valley too low that God can't lift me up. There's not a mountain too high that he can't sail me over. There's not affliction or a sickness that he can't heal me and deliver me from. The God I serve is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. If you believe that, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. But he didn't hear that. He didn't hear the pain. He didn't hear screaming. And he gets to some advantage point where he's able to see down in the fire. And quite a remarkable thing is happening in the midst of the fire. I don't know your background, but I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I've been in some fires that didn't hurt me. There was some screaming. There was some shouting. There was a few runners. I remember the young boys that I were around, you know, we used to observe the service. We wasn't getting involved. We would just observe it. And it was amazing. You would sit there and sometimes that head would get to go around, not mine. That was sister with the big hair. Sister got slang in that hair. And me and the other boys said, look out, here comes the hairpin. That pretty big hairdo went flat as a flitter and bobby pins began to fly. We knew then the Holy Ghost Hallelujah. It didn't bother the sister. Amen. We should have got in the spirit rather than just being observers. But I have been in the midst of a fiery service where God, the power of God has come down. And people didn't care who watched. People didn't care what was said. They were worshiping and praising God and giving their all to the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar goes over from his vantage point and looks down into the midst of the fire. The Bible doesn't say he rubbed his eyes, but I imagine he might have. Because through the midst and through the mist and through the smoke, he looked. And he began to count. One. Two. Three. Four. One, two, three, four. There's four men. I love what he said. Not only I see four men, I see four men loose. Oh, glory to God. As I look back over this congregation, I see somebody who is loose. Loose from the snares of the devil. Loose, amen, from the political correctness. Loose, amen, from serving man. Loose, glory to God, free and made whole. Washed in the blood of Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, he said, they're loose, walking around. And that fourth man is as the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar had never seen the Son of God. But there was something extraordinary about that fourth man in the fire. Hallelujah. So many sermons, so many songs have been preached, have been sang about the fourth man in the fire and about the fiery furnace. But I wanted to bring you up to that point. We know that God delivered. We know that they came out, I believe, stronger than they went in. I'll tell you one thing. You may not like the fiery trial that you're in now, but when God brings you out the other side, you're going to be more faithful. You're going to know that what he just brought you through, amen. No man could have done that. Had to be God. The only thing has been said time and time again that was burned in the fire was what had them bound. You may not understand why God allowed you to go into the fire, but it was to burn those things that had you bound. Amen. Because I want to tell you something. Holy Ghost filled children of God can still sometimes be bound. Shadrach wasn't bound because he was a backslider. Meshach was not bound because he was not a regular churchgoer. Abednego was not bound because he'd done some devious deed. They were bound because they were recognized as being children of God. And who does Satan want? He wants you. He wants the body of Christ. But I got news for him. The fire is never hot enough to destroy the soul of man. It only burns what has us bound. Oh, if you know what I'm talking about, if you know what I'm talking about, give him praise in the house this morning. Have you ever been bound, but God loosed you and set you free? Hallelujah. They made a conscious decision. They chose. They didn't know. Honestly, they didn't know that God was going to deliver them. They only knew he could. If we knew the exact outcome, we wouldn't have to act on faith. Because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. I call it sometimes after the fact faith. After we've seen God do it, then we believe. But God needs faithful people to believe it before the very act happens. Faith to believe it when you're still hurting. Faith to believe it when you're still or first initially cast in to that fiery trial. Because the God I serve And I believe I stand on his word. We'll never leave you in the midst of the fire. He's right there walking with you. Glory to God. I've often thought of the, and I'll try not to be lengthy here. But I've often thought about the conversation that may have taken place that was not recorded between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, even though they were faithful, I almost got to think that one of them said, you know what, this ain't that bad. Really? I mean, what we thought was going to be the end of our life, we're walking around in it. And Shadrach, those ropes, did you untie them? No, I didn't do it. That fire was so hot it burned them. Let me get really analytical with you. And for me, that's a miracle. Because I'm not an analytical person. But just to know that we can't understand the workings of God. Imagine designing a fire hot enough to slay the guards that threw them in there. Hot enough to burn the ropes and the cords that had them bound, but yet gentle enough not to burn their coats or the little turban heads they had on or whatever it was, or the sandals they had. The fire was gentle enough to save that needed to be saved and destroy that needed to be destroyed. Somebody needs to understand that. Same fire, but it burned away all that stuff that needed to be burned away and didn't harm the good part. And not only that, Nebuchadnezzar said, they don't even smell like they've been in a fire. You ever been close to a fire? And then you walk in and you take that same scent in the house with you. Nebuchadnezzar said, their eyebrows, their hair's not even singed. The only thing that burned was the things that had them bound. Will God still honor his word today? Yes, absolutely he will. Do we still honor God's word today? Are we steadfast enough to say, God, my faith and trust is in you, nothing else. Nothing else compares, amen, to the relationship that we have with the Lord. There's still things today, I mentioned it earlier, and I'm not going to be very long. But there's things today that the church absolutely cannot condone, nor bow to it, nor accept it. Not because of my beliefs, but because of the Word of God. The Bible lets me to know that if we put anything, between us and God, it becomes an idol to us. And he very explicitly says, thou shalt serve no other gods but me, and put no other gods before me. Be careful what you bow to. Be careful what you accept. Certainly be careful what you condone in this world. God bless you. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Hopefully this message has touched. Hopefully it has fulfilled what God intended it to do. If it did not, it was my fault, not his. But I pray this word reaches way down in our hearts, in the avenues of our soul. And if anything, let us take inventory of our relationship with the Lord and make sure we are as committed, as faithful, and dedicated as we possibly can be. Because there's things in this world today that will try our very spirit. But with God, all things are possible. If anyone here under the sound of my voice is struggling, decision-making, problems, maybe the adversary has said you're worthless, you don't mean anything, nobody cares for you, nobody loves you. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for you so that you might be born again and be saved and have your sinful life in remission by the blood of Jesus Christ. If there's one this morning that would come to this altar, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. While every head is still bowed, every eye closed, if you would just lift your hand and let this pastor know, that you have a prayer request. I won't ask you. I won't bother you. I'll just pray with you. God bless those hands today. We see them and God sees them. And we'll be praying. Hallelujah. Let's pray for this young man.
And I've been washed. give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to simply carry on through life's toils and tests and the worst and best. I'm not ever left alone. You are always right beside me. You hear me every time I pray. And since I first began, you've been my dearest friend, and I give you all the praise. And I just want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. You give and I'm blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment when in my life you made a change. And since the Spirit came, I've not been the same. I just want to give you thanks. And I just want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks.
I give you thanks, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise.
Praise the Lord. Praise God indeed. What a powerful, powerful message. Will not bow. Praise God. You know, we were talking about at Sunday school this morning, the importance of the Old Testaments and the New Testaments and the importance of the Word of God. And there's so much that the Lord has intended for each and every one of you. But before we dismiss, is also this altar still open if you need prayer. But before we dismiss, for those of you that hadn't noticed, there's a stack of shoeboxes up here to my left. And I want to say this, and for those of you who might have seen the post yesterday, but the count's 82 shoeboxes. Praise God. To some that may not need mean much, but to this loving and caring congregation, for those that are present with us now or maybe not able to be with us this morning, for the giving, for the compassion, for the love that this church provides so many, many times. It just seems to amaze me is the glory of God and the way He can multiply His gifts. I will tell you this, Thursday night, when the items that y'all had given were being sorted out, I personally had doubt in my mind. I said, there's just not enough. And Elaine, do you want to say anything this morning? I'd like to give you a mic. Do you mind if I was told I could call her out from up here.
I do want to say what he said. This was a blessing from God.
Closer to your mouth.
Like he said, we laid everything out, and I was like him. I'm thinking we make people to feel 50. My goal was 75. And somehow yesterday, I looked back, and every box had been filled. And it was like, in my mind, I took it back to when God fed the 5,000. And it was like, He always provides everything we need. But from the bottom of my heart, I can't thank each and every one of y'all enough for all y'all's giving and all the time y'all took out for this. And I really appreciate it, and I love every one of you.
Amen. And I'm not stealing any of the glory because I'm just the helper. But on top of the 82 boxes, I don't know about postage, but I believe it was pretty much to the point of I don't even know yet. And those are $9 a box to mail. So your love, your giving, we just love you. But we love God mostly, and we just thank Him for y'all being that. Now, we're going to pray real quick. Yes, ma'am. It right. That's right. That's right. There's a lot of cute jingles. There's a lot of cute commercials that those that are just gifted can just write up. But you can never give any of that glory. We can give it all to God, because when we give it to Him, He uses it as He sees fit. Just like in that fire, God is that powerful. That's how great God is. We're going to pray real quick. I know they prayed yesterday before they packed them. But anyone in the church that would like to join us, we're going to, as we get ready to dismiss for our dismissal prayer, I'm going to ask you to just be back at service tonight. Are you having choir practice tonight?
No, choir practice. I'm not sure about play practice. I don't know about
play practice. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, be back at service tonight at 6. And we're also... want to get back in the habit, as we've been doing, and as time gets busy, that we dim the lights a few minutes before service so we can come in and pray. So we want to continue that. But if anybody would like to join us up here and pray, they're going to be here tonight too. I'm not going to be able to take them over to where we have to take them to until tomorrow. So I'm just going to leave them. This is the safest place. God will keep blessing. But if y'all would like to join us for prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and dismiss with this prayer. Anybody want to come up, and then we'll let that be our dismissal prayer as we do.